PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome back, fellow golfers, to a brand new episode of the original Off Course. I am your host, Dan Edwards, and with me this week is a currently muted Dean DiCrescenzo, the staff writer, one of the staff writers on THP, a great friend of mine. Dean, how are you, buddy? You living through that snow up there in New York?
I am so ready for winter to end, Dan. But yeah, so far things are going all right. We've got some better weather heading our way, and I'm ready to get this golf season going here shortly.
Well, let's prop up the listeners with the reality of what we're dealing with right now. It is the middle of the week currently at 9:49 p.m. Eastern Standard, or as I like to call it, normal people time. We've both sort of been sitting here celebrating not being out in the cold, but also enjoying some libations, if you will. I think we're slowly improving what a rather mundane Wednesday looks like for most New Yorkers or Ohioans in February. I'm currently, well, it was like 55 today. Let's just start there. And when I walked outside, that was great, except for the fact that all the grass here has like a half inch of like slushy ice snow monstrosity built into it presently, which means the course is absolutely 100% closed. I'm assuming you're not enjoying too much outdoor golfing right now.
No, not at all. But today it was did get up to 41, which is good.
Killing it.
We had that same storm come through that you experienced last. We had it last Friday. I think you had it Wednesday night into Thursday. So we've got right now we've still got kind of 2 inches of that slushy stuff, and then maybe an inch of snow left on top of it. It's good for sleigh riding, but it's not very good for golf.
So we have a friend, a THPer down in Kentucky, who prior to this massive snowstorm sent me a text saying, "Hey man, it's going to be 51 on this day. We should golf." And I was like, "Yeah, that's a really good idea." And then it didn't really turn out that way. And then within like 3 days, Snowmageddon hit. And he just finished telling me that this Friday, as in 2 days from our recording, what everyone's hearing as the day of record or release, that it's actually gonna be really nice again. So I want to be clear. There's a lot of rumors out there about a groundhog seeing a shadow, but I am under the impression that if a Kentucky person starts talking to you about the weather in February, you just run. That's all you do. You run.
It depends if they offer you moonshine.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get offered moonshine from it, then you might be okay.
He offered bourbon, and maybe I should just say, don't worry about the weather. Come on up. We got Topgolf here. Bring a bottle. Let's have a good time. And whatever happens, happens. I can't do this anymore, Dean. I am losing my mind not being able to get outside. In fact, I've been looking at houses in the area with 12-foot ceilings so I can put in my own simulator. It's not that realistic, but it's worth doing while I sit here pining over living in this location. But there is light on the horizon, I suppose. There's a lot of opportunity in February to get excited about the year that's coming. And I think that's what's so different about where we live, is we appreciate golf a lot more when it actually comes to being a reality again. What do you feel the same way? Like at this point of the year, all you want to do is just hit balls. Is that how you feel?
This is usually the time of year right around Groundhog Day is where I start to get the itch. Now in years past, we've been together at the PGA show, and that really gets the juices flowing, because you see all the equipment and you get all excited about, getting out there to play some golf. But unfortunately, both of us, we fly back up north, and it's not very good for 2 months to go from there. So usually it's right around this time, and I get excited. I make sure that my putting green in my basement is all the boxes from Christmas and everything is cleaned off of it, so I could start putting in some work. And I start, you know, scouring all of these companies' websites, and I look at all of the reviews and what everybody's talking about on THP. You know, obviously a lot of the granddaddy guys have had their equipment for what, 2 months at this point, 2.5 mm-hmm. months. And it's equipment that really the world is just starting to find out about. So you really start paying attention to what those guys are saying, because they've got a heck of a lot more swings in with those than other people do in the world. So yeah, you start planning the bag in your head, and this is the time, as you can hear, I'm excited. I'm ready to start figuring out what the season's going to be like.
Yeah. You reminded me of PGA Show season, which for us, you know, that was starting to become a pretty solid tradition. Dean kicking off my winter crankiness. Now I didn't have that this year, so we're just gonna have to rely on video discussion to and I suppose you're Jameson to my rum to knock that off. But you know, the one thing I always loved about going to the PGA Show is just finding all the crazy stuff that no one's talking about but everyone's going to talk about. You know, there's always one or two or seven things that you get super excited about, and at that point it's up to the company to execute, to present, and to provide golfers with that actual experience. Outside of the basic brands that we're very familiar with at this point, is there anything that you're super excited about based on what you've seen in this off season?
You know, I'm trying to completely rebuild a bag, I think, for this season, like just completely start from scratch. But one of the previews that I wrote, I want to say it was probably 2 weeks ago, from ShotScope, They've got a new rangefinder that has a little magnetic clip that goes in with their tracking system, which is really cool. So that's something that I'm actually really excited about, and I might actually, you know, plop down the money and go get for myself, because, you know, I could use a new rangefinder. The one that I review a lot of them, but the one that I still use is rather old. And this one would probably replace that. And then being able to do that instead of used Arcos would be a fun thing to compare.
Yeah. Well, I actually have one of their watches here. It's been sitting in the same spot since I got it in, let's call it December, because all these months are put together at this point. But I know that, ignoring the part where it's effectively going to have to become a New Year's resolution to actually use this thing when the time comes, it's my understanding that they simplified the process, where with the watch, you need to wear it and you need to work with it. Whereas with the new system they have in place, you can actually just tap the device onto the club or near the club or whatever it is to activate it. And I think that's like a really cool, that is a really cool addition that they've made there, because you get that sort of tangible buzz and get the understanding that you're actually interacting with it. And it kind of solves that problem of like, well, is it actually registering? Well, yeah, I just hit it and it registered. So it's pretty clear there. Plus you get the added benefits of a rangefinder, which anyone who uses a rangefinder claims the GPS is inferior due to the fact that you can't get the perfect number. So now you don't have an excuse, right?
Yeah, you got both of them. So, you know, you've got the Pro LX rangefinder itself, and then you've got the GPS part built into it that's going to, you know, you can clip it onto yourself, or you could keep it inside, which is really cool. Keep it magnetically locked on to that rangefinder. And then on top of it, the shot tracking. So if you're somebody who really wants to get into the strokes gained, which has become a huge stat on tour, you know, that's something that you can get into. And the price of it really competitive compared to what other just rangefinders are. You're getting kind of a 3-in-1 shot here.
Let's dial into that a little bit. Are you a strokes gain kind of guy? I've always been, let me preface that, because I've always been the guy, like, if I make a mistake and you remind me of it an hour later, I'm going to be pretty cranky about it, because I just want to act like it never happened. You know, like, if I make a bogey, the best thing that could happen is my next hole is a birdie, so I can just pretend like it completely never happened. So I've been trying to train my brain to say it is really beneficial to have that sort of extra information on what we do, and just to ignore the fact that it's going to take a while to build it up a little bit and get a real solid baseline going. Are you a tracker? Are you a guy that really likes to do that as a golfer?
You know, I tried to commit to taking a look at my game like that a few years ago, and I It was a mix of being frustrated and like, yeah, I know that's what my issue is. I don't need something else to tell me that. I consistently miss the third fairway at this course left every single time. And it cost me strokes. So, where I liked it was mostly in the putting, because I felt like I could see improvement better there. Maybe it's because the stroke is, it's not as big as a full swing. So there's less variables to track. So I thought that information was, it computed a little better in my head, I guess is what I should say. When I saw putting improvement there, that was cool.
You're like a putting. There's a whole lot of complexity with Dean and his putting experience right now. So any opportunity to either improve on it, whether it's through technology or through data, is probably, at the forefront of your focus for 2022, right?
Yeah. And the data then showed when I started making change, and we touched on it in the past, when I started using some other tools, the data showed that it was getting better. So that was really cool. But then when I was trying to work on a few other things with my swing, I would look at that data and try to figure it out. And it was kind of cool, but it was frustrating.
Yeah.
Cause there's so much there. There's so much data that's available to golfers now. If they really want to dive in and look at it, there's so much there to either get you to play a little differently or to make you practice a little more efficiently. That stuff's out there.
Yeah, the last time the original time that Gavin came on the podcast, which was pretty incredible for the knowledge base stuff when we talk about shot scope and total, but I didn't realize at the time that I was asking him or suggesting to him like how we can integrate GPS and range finders. I wonder if he was sitting there laughing at me, going, "If you only had 6 months to wait, you'd be getting your prayers answered." But the cool part there is it just recognizes that companies are very in tune with what us golfers are looking for, and they're definitely trying to solve for that. I thought seeing that release only a short time after having him on the show, obviously I can't take credit for it. It would have to be a couple of years out for me to say, yeah, that was my idea. But it turns out I was just knocking off their own ideas at the time. But, it really is nice to know that these companies have the things we're looking for in the forefront of their minds, and they're just trying to find a way to solve for it, especially when it comes to data right now.
And I do think that companies listen a lot more than people give them credit for.
They
really do. And, sometimes it's just a simple conversation, a conversation like with you and Gavin, or as simple as a thread that's on THP that gets a lot of different golfers talking, whether it's about a specific brand or not. Those companies out there, they do pay attention to these things, and it comes up in conversations in their meetings. Now, it doesn't mean that they're going to make a product based off of it, but that stuff all goes into what their next launch is, their marketing is, and so forth.
So that actually just happened to me today, Dean. And by today, I mean Wednesday. THP put up on their Twitter the new FootJoy Fuel shoes. Did you happen to see them?
I did. I kind of dig the looks, actually.
Yeah. So the question was thumbs up or thumbs down on the new FootJoy Fuel shoe. I thought it was a pretty fair question. And the first thing I did when I looked at it, I was like, wow, that is a FootJoy shoe I would absolutely try on in the store and probably try and buy. My only thought was, not really my colorway. I'm more of like, add some more blue and you've pretty much nailed me. I'm not that hard to please. So I commented, not my favorite colorway, but actually kind of awesome from FootJoy. And within a short period of time, I get the old like from FootJoy. I'm like, wait a minute, you guys are watching. And it's such an easy thing to forget that those avenues are there for them to take in our feedback. But it's also, a perfect opportunity to say, man, like if they see something like that, and if enough people say it, they're probably going to come out with something that aligns with what people want. We had Austin on last week from Callaway, and he's talking about the color of 2022, the color of 2023, saying that 2023 is going to be some sort of like a seafoam style color. I'm like, I don't know how that I'm going to be into that color next year, but I probably will be. So let's just buy into it now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's really funny. There's definitely been times where it's been on Twitter that you mentioned something and all of a sudden, hey, this company X, they like that, or they reply, or there's times where you even get a DM asking about it. So that's, I had one from Adele back in the day where they were talking about a putting tool. Funny, right? All of the putters, but it was all about different face angles of the putter, and the way you put the contraption down, it showed where you pulled it back, which way your face angle was going to be. And all I did was just like it. And I was like, oh yeah, that's really cool. And I got a message from them the next day. It's like, hey, we saw you showed interest in this. Just so you know, we're going to put some out. We'll keep you on a list if you really want to get one. And I was like, yeah, I really don't think I need one. Maybe I should have. But you know, as it turns out, I probably shouldn't take them up on it. But it's just little things like that. Just a couple mentions, and these companies do pay attention to what's going on out there. They want feedback from golfers.
Yeah, and I do want to give Adele a shout out really quickly. I think it's important for the listeners of the show to follow along with things I see that I really am passionate about, and hopefully, obviously, they make their own decisions, and I fully support that. But our fellow staff writer on THP, James, wrote a pretty awesome article on the THP homepage about the customized Adele fitting experience. Now, they have in a lot of Club Champions I know, as well as Adele specific fitters, they have this crazy cool cart. You can customize everything from the alignment aids you're using on the top of your putter, to the style of the head, to the type of the shaft, to the weight that's placed in the butt, the weight that's placed underneath your hands in the shaft. There's so much that goes into it. He was blown away, and he's at 100% a putter aficionado. And when you have a guy like that, who's that emotionally invested in putting, like, I don't know if Dean said it, I'd be like, yeah, okay, Dean, like, every experience for you is a blow away experience.
Everything's amazing.
Yeah. But for James to come out and to be so positive, I would hope that everyone had an opportunity to at least go and look at it. I'll be sure to bump it on my social here probably Friday afternoon to make sure you have a chance if you are following along on Twitter as well. But check it out, because we have sort of unlocked this next level of fitting with golfers. And Dean, I would love your perspective on this as well, because we have, back in the day, you had your golf techs or your demo days where you go out there, they got a shaft and a club, and they isolate and they fit, and they tell you what the pro's doing that you should be doing. But a lot of that was all really lesson oriented, or demo days, very one singular company oriented. And we've moved into this hyper-educated golfer where we are a small group, the lunatic fringe or whatever you want to call it, but it provides the ability, regardless of price, to be 100% perfectly fit for a product in line in that year. I think examples like this from Adele or using Sam Putlab, you have just wildly added info beyond that. I'm just going to go to Golf Galaxy and roll putters until one of them funnels in enough time that I think it's perfect, Dean. But
been there.
But you know, we have this kind of wave of technology, wave of information that we're starting to really harness. It's starting with the putter. I hope it expands from there, even though I think it's pretty challenging to alter weight on the fly with an iron or a driver. But what is your take right now, Dean, personally, on pure fitting for product, and how seriously do you take that?
Well, I think fittings come a long way. So you made the comment about Golf Galaxy. When they had one open in the area here, I worked there. It was something I did on the weekends. So, you know, I really liked golf and I wanted to be around as much equipment as possible. And the fittings there, no offense to them back in the day, they weren't very good. It was very much, you know, they used at the time, I think they might have still used a GC2. And it was, if you wanted a fitting here, here's this driver head. You could hit four or five of these shafts. This is what it's going to do for you. Okay, you're done. It was quick, very quick, in and out. And the same thing with putter fittings. They were very simple here. All right, so we could tweak the lie angle on this, and you can see how it's coming off and it's hitting the line. All right, you're done. Next person. now this stuff is way more specialized. And yeah. I think that the golfer in general is also getting way more knowledgeable on this stuff. Now, like you say, we're junkies. We live for this stuff. So we're all into it, but you see all of these demo days now, guys coming up with the companies at least coming out with the launch monitors there. And if you hit the right sales rep, they'll spend time with you to really yeah. help dial you in. And that's really cool. We've had some up here and more with my wife actually swinging clubs, which is kind of fun. She's gotten a couple of guys that have really worked with her for probably like 20 to 25 minutes, which had a demo day that's got multiple companies and, you know, over 100 people. I say that's someone that's really wanting to pay attention. But they've had her in different shafts, work on different shaft lengths, try different head weights and see, you know, where things can improve. So I think that's what I'm kind of rambling, and I know I am, but that's where I think things are going now. And you see that in a place like Club Champion. Club Champion is built all around club fitting. And you look at their, when you want to schedule it, it tells you that their fittings, you know, they range from an hour and a half to like four hours.
Yeah. Depending on the location too. Yeah.
Yeah.
The availability of the rep. And I've personally never gone into a place like that where they've said, you know, I'm really cut on schedule. I've got a guy coming in right behind you. And every time I've gone in there, and obviously things have changed with the popularity of their product and the pandemic changing things for sure. But I've never heard a story from someone locally about the places I've recommended up in Indy, here in Cincinnati. There's always just been this unbelievable appreciation for they want to put us in the right product. And I think it aligns with the good demo days you get to. I remember doing a couple of Titleist Thursdays with my boys, taking them out. And at that time, this was, you know, 3 years ago or whatever it may be, we take them out to a country club that was a half hour away, and we'd spend an hour with a Titleist rep there, and they'd be blown away that this guy would be that emotionally invested. I'm like, look, man, they're not just fitting you for their product. Well, of course they're doing that. Like, of course they want you to buy it as well. Let's not get foolish here.
Right.
But there's so much more involved to that. Like, do you want a reason to buy something? Go speak with a rep. They are the most forward facing people. You get a really good sense of what they believe in their product, regardless if it's markety moo, as I like to call it. You take it to another level when you spend time and they explain, like, this club isn't great for you. Look, this is a product I believe in that fits a lot of golfers. It's not going to fit you. Let's get you into this one and get you in a shaft that you like and see if we can beat your gamer, because that's what matters to me. You hear those conversations and it's like, wow, they are really invested in me. I want to invest, you know, in their product and represent them. I mean, we're walking billboards for companies as is. You have enough trouble finding a bag that you like when it doesn't have a company you're represented by, right?
Right.
And it's not like you're paying them to represent them, you know. It's kind of a wild thing, but it all comes full circle, man. Like, this is a year of great growth for golf, at least a couple years of that, at least here in Ohio. I'm curious to know what it's like over there in New York, but I mean, they're really gonna have to start working for our allegiance, which I think is a cool thing. You had Callaway with that unbelievable social media push a couple years ago that really brought people on board to say, I want to be a part of this growth. I want to be a part of this sort of family that's budding here. You have representation on tour who you maybe feel super aligned with. There's always a good reason to fall in love with a company. But for me, if you don't have that connection, what the hell's the point? Because they're so competitive right now and there's so many options out there. You can easily find a company that'll work for your game. You just got to find a company you like, right?
Yeah. And I think to people that are very aligned with one brand, in a way, there's so much good stuff out there now. I almost feel like they're doing themselves a disservice by not looking at some of those other brands, even though, like you say, if you want to connect with, we'll just say Callaway, you want to be really connected with Callaway 100%. But there's some other equipment companies that make things that are extremely good in different categories. So maybe you really love Callaway drivers and the Rogue ST is definitely the one for you. That's perfectly fine. It's a fantastic driver. You're
speaking emotionally right now, aren't you?
Yes, very much so. But you know what? Maybe the Callaway fairway woods aren't the best for you. And you want to try something that's got a little more, a different type of sole that helps you get through the turf, depending on your angle of attack. If you're really trying to hit down on the ball with fairway woods, which that's not a great idea anyway, but there are some club designs out there that give you some relief there to help. So I think when you talk about the people who are looking for clubs and all these companies fighting to get into people's bags, part of the reason they're fighting too is because everybody has such good equipment right now. It's really a fun time in the game of golf.
You know, you make that point, and we just had a chat during the last week in the THB community about PXG dropping their prices once again on the O211 series. And I thought that was super interesting because I've hit PXG product in the past and raved about it. I still think Gen 3 0311P was one of the most remarkable irons of that time for my personal game. But it's like, where's that connection with the company? Where's that emotional investment from the company to me where I'm like really excited? You know, we did some work. I put a lot of work in. And you don't really get that back and forth. It almost just matters at this point. But then here's what's really interesting. Some great THPers jumped in the thread and they started talking about their experience with PXG, where they bought a product and they got connected with people from the company. I think it'd be really interesting for a company like PXG to sort of shorten that line of connection to it doesn't require a purchase for it to happen. If they can find a way to show that sort of passion for what fits a golfer prior to them buying instead of just after them buying, kudos to them for doing that. But if they can do that before buying, I think they're going to win a lot of people over. Because as much as I'm not a big fan of O211, I think it's sort of a watered down experience on their really high quality product. I do think they have a good product to sell.
Yeah, and they do. My league partner this past year, when they did one of their price drops on the irons you mentioned, the 311P, they did a price drop on those, and you know, he immediately went for them. And the thing he went for wasn't the fact that you know he loved PXG or he had any kind of bond with PXG. It was, hey man, PXG's on sale. Those clubs are expensive. Like,
yeah.
Okay. But when you drop up the price, they're just the same as everybody else.
Right.
He's like, well, you know, they are usually way more expensive. They were $350 per iron and now they're only $140 an iron. Like, all right. That was the reason he made that jump. And that's cool too. But there is no, like you're saying, there's no draw on a personal level or on a connection level with that brand to just want to go out there and grab it. But they do have some good stuff. I played his irons quite a bit, hit some extra shots, and I was very impressed with them.
Yeah, it's hard to, well, unless you know about him, it's kind of hard to go into a golf store and find the really unremarkable products because it's just so littered with good quality stuff. But it's also about finding what fits your game, right? It's about finding... Now, we have all these crazy conversations about iron shaft selection in, you know, stock heads or driver shafts or, you know, jacked lofts or you know, the size of heads and not being able to carve through the turf and all this madness. But in reality, it is you're just hitting clubs that don't fit you. You know, find the club that fits you, find that profile and go through the massive collection of options that people have. In that style of profile, like there are guys out there who love the sound of ping. I'm a guy who I do not at all love the sound of ping. If I'm going to say there's a perfect sounding iron out there, it starts with Mizuno and makes its way outward from there. I mean, you've heard the Z series from Srixon, unbelievable sound off Z Forged.
Yeah.
You know, you have Callaway redefining my perspective last year with XForge CB, making this product feel unbelievably dense on good quality contact while having multiple layers of technology, which is something I don't think that a company like Mizuno was doing when they had the multi-piece there. You know, it's super cool to see the different versions of getting to a certain place and the different ways of performance in different irons. But the nice thing is we don't have to settle. You know, we have the ability to just run through the gamut. And just because you don't like a iron from a company doesn't mean you don't like all the irons from all that company, right?
Right. And I like how you just kind of breezed past Jack Lofts, but we'll let that go.
Well, I mean,
but you're right.
Being, yeah.
I mean, the point being that even if you wanted to talk about it on a loft perspective, you know, if you don't like that, I'm going to say Ping because they just hit the i500 or i525 just hit the market yesterday.
Did they actually release it or is it pushed?
They released that one. They've pushed a couple other, but gotcha. That one's been released. But if you don't like the fact that 7-iron is strong lofted, you could go and look at some of their other stuff, and you could look at the i59, which that 7-iron is much more what people would consider traditionally lofted.
Or they
can alter the lofts to power or retro spec them, which I don't know, in my mind kind of defeats the whole talk about, you know, we're strengthening lofts because of the technology that's in it, when they're like, hey, here's this club and we can have it set up either too stronger or too weaker, however you want. And yep, it's still going to perform well. But, you know, you get to that kind of part where if you went into a PGA Superstore or a Club Champion for fitting, like you say, there's so much on that wall that could possibly fit you. Find what works best for your game. If you're somebody who really is steep with an iron swing, you know, a blade is probably not going to be the best for you. With a sharp leading edge is probably not going to be the thing that's going to be the best for your game. But it doesn't mean you have to go all the way up to like ZX4, which is a fantastic iron, but it's a much chunkier profile.
You have these V-shaped soles in some of these products. I mean, Ben Hogan's an example, PTX Pro. You have, I remember when, and this is the set that I know you'll have a certain amount of feel for, when J40 came out and they had that sort of curled up edge, so it wasn't super sharp on the leading edge. I was like, so wait a minute, you're telling me that even though I'm steep, I can still hit this because that turf interaction isn't going to be like a knife running through it, even though it probably should be. And I think, you know, companies took notice of that. They realized that, okay, maybe these guys, they have the ability to play it based on quality of contact. They like to get a little heavy in the turf. So let's find them something that keeps them, you know, above water a little bit more when they drive through. And, you know, you see these ultra variances of that. Or there's the guys who just like, I love digging holes in the turf. My superintendent absolutely hates me, but this is who I am 7 days a week at the range. So you get that profile that can just carve through it. Now that's not me, but you know, at least that option's out there for people.
Yeah, the option's there. And you hit on one of my favorite iron sets of all time by throwing that out there. So I'm glad you did that.
I had to.
Absolutely love that iron set. But that was a game changer. So I mean, and I don't think they were the first that did that, but they were the first that made it into my bag that had that kind of beveled edge design, which at the time
it was, Score Wedges was the one I really remember early on with the V-sole or whatever they called it. They might not have called it V-sole. I think that's very, V-sole is Srixon-y, isn't it?
That's VT-sole.
VT-sole. It had that sort of V shape on the sole. I remember the first couple score wedges. I was like, wait a minute, this is kind of neat. And then you go back to your traditional wedge. You're like, I just put an absolute bunker in the middle of this fairway.
Yeah, Eidolon, which then you know morphed into Score, they were the first one that I can remember that a wedge design, and it kind of blew my mind testing those out and seeing that was really the first time I remember having a different type of sole on a wedge, because back then, I mean, even
even the Vokies, they didn't have, you know, the entire alphabet of grinds that they have now, that was really cool. And Cleveland at the time was just a three dot system. Mm-hmm. I mean, now these companies really dial it in because of that. We started talking about irons and we morphed into wedges here, but that's all part of it. Find the soul best for you. Yeah. It works best for you. And it goes back to what you were talking about with irons as well. Find what works for you.
Yeah. It's super circular when it comes down to it. I mean, I did a couple cool videos last year showcasing the performance aspect or the consistency aspect of like, for example, CBX2 versus Zipcore. It was an unbelievable experience for me because Zipcore went toe to toe the whole way. And if anything was more accurate based on my inability to hit absolutely 100% the exact same angle and contact and speed and, you know, et cetera on every single swing. It's like, wait a minute. These are scoring clubs. They must be bladed wedges. Well, no, actually they don't. And for 99 point every golfer, every percent of golfer needs to be really reconsidering what's actually in that spot. And I think, that experience is very telling for me. I love hitting a wedge. I'm not afraid to hit a wedge. And I think I've got pretty good control over my contact with a wedge, but I didn't lose consistency over moving to that. And how many golfers, Dean, do you think are out there right now with bladed wedges all the way to the 46 because Titleist makes them that low, who might maybe tiny, weeny, little bit benefit from moving to a CB wedge?
I remember when CBX first came out, the very first generation of it, and Josh and I actually got a preview of it that spring, and we walked out of the conference room and I said, hey, that's going to sell. That's going to be a really good wedge for people. And he was like, yeah, probably. I said, no, I think it's really, because that market wasn't there. Like the wedge that was the cavity back, that was a little bigger profile, but you could still manipulate. And then that fall, we went out to do an event and a bunch of guys got a full bag of Cleveland gear. And those wedges were what everybody got. And there was talk, not with that group, but on the interwebs, that, you know, those wedges weren't versatile. And by people saying weren't versatile because they were looking at it, it was a little bigger head. Like you say, it was a little oversized. But people are thinking that you're going to hit crazy flop shots. But I remember going in a bunker with it, and I could manipulate the face as much as I really needed to for those shots and get it to glide through the sand perfectly fine and hit the perfect pitch shots and, you know, manipulate the ball flight high and low. It did everything that it needed to.
Well, that's how you know you're talking to an internet golfer, right? When you talk about a CB wedge like it's a Cleveland Smart Sole.
they think it's like a stain on their game, right? but it's not. It's something that could actually help you. Yeah. And maybe you shouldn't be trying to hit a flop shot every single time when you're around the green. I don't know.
Like a pretty high percentage shot. I bet if we got Gavin on here to talk about percentages, he'd feel pretty good about the 60 degree or more flop shots.
Strokes gained plus seven.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was a really fun avenue to take. I mean, we obviously started at fitting, but the whole story around here is that there's an iron for everyone. There's a wedge for everyone. There's probably a product for everyone. It's just a matter of going out there and finding it. And I love the idea, especially now that we're kind of coming out of this wintry hole, or, you know, I've got a couple other words to describe it, but I won't. It's a chance to get a fresh look at the bag and reconsider what's really performing and what's not. I'm going to do it with ShotScope this year, where I'm actually going to see what's performing. But I'm also kind of set early on with the irons. Got a super cool set of Mizunos in that I'm excited to hit. You had mentioned that the bag is very much in limbo right now. Do you have any real front runners right now, based on what you've seen, that you think are going to make the cut?
So I think where the safe spot is going to be right now is the wedges. Last year I played SM8s, and the fall before when they launched, I had Zipcore wedges, and I think I'm going to go back to the Zipcore wedges. I'm going to put the full face Zipcore in there at 58, okay, and then have a 54 with a mid grind, and then
CBX2.
I might go, you know what? I've done the CBX and the CBX2 in a gap wedge.
Okay.
I've been known to do that. So that spot, there's a chance for it there. I'm not going to commit to that just yet, but there's a chance for it. Everything else is kind of up for grabs. I've had the same hybrid since 2015, the original Callaway Apex hybrid. I got fit for that at the Granddaddy out at ECPC. Absolutely love that club, but I think it's time to maybe retire it and see what else is out there. Because
it may as well be a Heavenwood, man. Jeez.
Yeah, pretty much. So, I mean, last year clubs were a lot of holdovers from previous years.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a current year driver or fairway wood. Irons, I dabbled with some current year stuff, but I kept going back to a couple other older sets as well. So I think this year my plan is to really get dialed in on something, maybe get fit, who knows.
Ooh, and that'd be a good one.
That's right. And then see where we lay.
The one big one though is what kind of ball are you gonna use this year? That's been my main question for a long time now, is with all these new products coming out. We got new Cleveland or new Strixon balls, you got new Callaway balls, we got new Bridgestone balls, we got new AVX from Titleist. I mean, the gamut's there. What's it gonna be?
A lot of good golf balls come out this year. For me, I've been very big into Strixon the last few years. I dabbled a little bit with the Bridgestone Tour B RX last year and RXS, but really I've been a Z-Star and Q-Star Tour depending on the weather.
Q-Star Tour might be the best value in golf ball right now. Is that a big seller? Are you going to go Divide?
I would try the Divide. They, you know what, when they first came out, I will admit that I was like, yeah, all right, that's a little hokey. They reminds me of, you know, the mini golf ball. But the more I kept looking at it, I was like, you know what, it's really cool. But then I couldn't find them in any stores around me. And I actually saw some people playing them, and I was like, yeah, I would like to try it. So if I wouldn't be surprised if I get a Z-Star Divide or a Q-Star Tour Divide golf ball in there. But I'm also going to try the Chrome Soft LS.
Yeah. We'd be remiss, Verska, if you didn't at least suggest you'd give it a shot. Maybe Mr. Finley.
I don't want to hear it from them. But I'm going to give it a shot. I tried it. I tried the previous version a little bit in the fall for one of my very few rounds that were played. And I was impressed enough where I've decided I'm gonna give it a go. So those are Strixon and the Callaway ball is gonna be where I start. I don't know if it's gonna be where I finish, but because there's so many different good options out there. But those are gonna be the two brands that go in the bag first.
I love that. Well, I'm still undecided myself. Like you said, there's a lot of great options out there. So I'm definitely going to give them all a pretty solid run. Q-Star Tour blew me away, though. And here's the real problem I'm having right now, Dean. Every time we go to the golf store, for whatever reason, my son Cal gravitates towards all the super bright Strixon balls and the Divides. He's like looking at them and taking his sweet time in that big section of balls. What are you trying to do? Like, is this being decided for me? Like, is this just going to be like a every time we come here sort of thing? I actually took a picture last time. I meant to post it on social. I think they're paying him. I don't know how much because I'd like a piece, but yeah.
Why don't you just break down and buy him some?
I should. Well, he gets all the secondary stuff. So he's got a bag full of colorful balls. Thanks to his papa for never playing them, or at least never losing them anyway. So that's a big win there. But yeah, I'm super excited, man. This year's going to be really fun with Cal.
Is he at the age yet where he prefers a matte finish color ball versus the sparkly colored ball yet?
He's not into the sparkles, but he's definitely into the colorful. He's definitely into the matte finish. He's transitioned from the dark side of my favorite color is orange. He's now of complete logic and says his favorite color is blue. So
on that one whatsoever, I'm sure.
Yeah. In truth, there's none, but in reality, I'm going to buy him a lot more things that are blue, so it technically benefits him. He doesn't know it, but he's actually made a really strong decision.
Passive-aggressively making him like blue. I like it.
Yeah, you see this stuff here? The daddy's, this cup that he's drinking on, nice and blue. Oh, what a great color, man.
See your orange one? It's a lot smaller than my cup.
Yeah, that's, I don't know.
Big cup like this?
Yeah, it looks pretty used, pretty old. I don't know. the tire technology. Yeah, for sure. He's got orange golf clubs right now too. I think he's probably vying for some new ones. So yeah, what he needs is a club sponsorship. I need to get him on tour or on staff somewhere.
Well, Cleveland, right? Cleveland's got blue in their products right now.
Yeah.
Try to think who else. Mizuno obviously is synonymous with blue.
Yeah, he's looking like a running bird kind of kid. So we'll see. We had like 11 really interesting topics to speak about today, Dean. I think we might have hit on like three of them. So let's have you back on soon if you don't mind. We're kind of at the end of the show. I don't know how that happened. We could make it a 2-hour show if you want.
I mean, I'm here. No, I'll gladly come back. And, you know, those topics will still be there because, like you said, we did the quick rundown and we had a bunch of them. And I'm looking at my list. And I'm like, yeah, we didn't touch on much of that at all.
Well, let's get the real story out of here. Do you have a Super Bowl favorite? Are you picking one?
You know what? I'm going to go for your hometown team, Cincinnati Bengals.
Hey, whoa. Yeah. My local team. Well, you mean,
local
my
team. Yeah. Well, trying to hurt me. I can't go for the Toronto Argonauts or whatever they are. So
they don't play in the NFL. It's fine. Yeah.
It's a different league, but I'm going to go with the Bengals. I don't know why. You know, LA really has, they've really built everything for the Super Bowl. They're playing at home. They've traded their draft away for, you know, the next 15 years just to get to this point.
Enough, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. there's something about the Bengals I really like. Plus, you know, my wife's a Bills fan and we really wanted to see the Bills make it there. So
yeah, true.
We started rooting for the Bengals against the Chiefs and it worked. So we'll keep it going here.
I love it. Yeah, the boy is just turned 6. He's decided that he's into it. So we were here cheering last week, and believe it or not, my entire household actually watched that game with legitimate interest in the results. So that was a remarkable feat in my house, and I'm looking forward to carrying it on. I've said for many years, just give me a reason to be supportive of you, and I think the Bengals might finally have done it. It's great. So let's go Bengals, right?
Yeah, let's go Bengals. And what I really like is their coach, after they won the first playoff game, stopped at one of the local bars on his drive home and presented a game ball. I think that's such a cool story. It really is.
So he's actually carried that over after every game. I think he's added the number. I think the last one was 4 or 5 game balls where he handed out to local bars. I mean, they've suffered for 30 plus years here just to even get a chance, let alone win. So they've earned it for sure.
No, it's great. Cincinnati to me, like I said, Jen being a Bills fan and us going to college out in that area, you know, those are two franchises that haven't done much. You know, the Bills went to 4 Super Bowls in the early 90s, but they didn't, from that point on, they really struggled. And the Bengals have been in that same, you know, that same stretch. You know, they get to the playoffs with Marvin Lewis, but not perform well at all. So it's exciting to see them make this step, get to the Super Bowl, and I'm really hoping that they take that Lombardi Trophy home.
There's the quote, why not us? There's why not out there, why not us?
Who day?
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not ready for that.
I think you should be.
Who are they? Dean, do you have any questions for me, buddy, before we take off?
I want to know, who are they? No.
They're the Bengals, man.
So just quickly circling back to what we originally started talking about was the weather. And you said you got a message from a buddy in Kentucky that said it was 50. At what point during this type of year where you see that there's no snow on the ground and you look at that temperature and you're like, all right, yeah, I'm going out and doing it. What's the number? What's the number that makes you say, yeah, we're playing tomorrow?
Yeah. Well, there's multiple factors that go into this. Like, wind ruins everything. And I've said that for forever. I would probably, middle of summer, give me rain over wind any day, which is just sick. But I think low 40s with decently dry ground, with low wind, I'm definitely game for that. I've got a little bag boy hand warmer that I can use, or just your basic hot hands that redefine my comfort zone of playing golf. So yeah, I would say low 40s. I'm out there. I don't really care what's on the work schedule. I'm running. So,
well, I think that's coming your way soon, friend.
Yeah, you're ready. No doubt. Anything else, brother?
I think that's all I've got, Dan. We've rambled on a lot. I love it. We still have more. I hope you invite me back so we could actually talk some more of these topics that we had.
Let's do that. Definitely the next few weeks. There's obviously light on the horizon here, and thank goodness for that. I hope everyone out there is having an awesome start to your year. I hope you're excited about the new products that are coming out. I hope you're enjoying the West Coast swing, which we had every intentions of talking about and upsetting people about how much more we like Riviera than every other golf course in California. I'm talking for Dean here.
Yep. You're spot on.
Yeah. But anyways, enjoy the golf. If you are playing, if you're one of the lucky few playing this weekend, have a great time. I'll see you guys next week. We've got some really awesome guests on the horizon. Thanks again, Dean. We'll talk to you soon.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.